This is the 432nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC. And today we're going to do the Falcons midterm report card. They played 10 games, one and a half over the midway point for a 17-game season. But it fits here because the team's on a bye this week. They are, going to go over things for a couple days, then get away and come back on Monday and start getting ready for the rest of the season. But the Falcons kind of stumbled into the bye here with three losses. They are 4-6 at the bye week. And we're going to go over their grades on how the team has performed and has not met expectations in a couple key areas. If you're listening to this for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents...
Hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny...
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we're going to... This is what we're going to do today. We did the written form in the paper online right now and in the Wednesday print editions where we give the Falcons midterm grades. And we're going to look at the pass offense, rush offense, pass defense, take a break, and then come back and finish up with the rush defense, special teams, and coaching. And then we're going to look at the schedule, our predicted schedule. We had them being 7-3 at this point and pointing firmly toward the playoffs. It didn't happen like that. We missed on three big games, and instead of being 7-3, they are 4-6 at the bye. But hey, let's look at the pass offense here. The Falcons averaged 204.9 yards per game, which is 17th in the league. And, you know, to get a good grade, you have to be in the top half of the league. And, they're not there yet. Made some strides along the way. They were near the bottom. Then a couple 300-yard games allowed them to go up. And we had two quarterbacks. And, you know, the old adage is that if you playing two quarterbacks means you don't have one. And so Michael Cunningham wrote about that in his column. Arthur Smith would not say that he's going with Ritter yet. We fully expect that to be the case on Monday when they get back to it. And if not, that'll be another case that they will be in the quarterback market. But Ritter has completed 161 of 246 passes. That's 65.4% for 1,740 yards. Six touchdowns and six interceptions, has an 84 passer rating. Y'all know that's supposed to be 2-1. If you got 20 touchdowns, you need to have 10 interceptions. But even interception to ratio rate is not doing very good there. So we all knew about the turnover issues. And Taylor Heinicke, who came in halftime of game eight at Tennessee, he has completed 41 of 74 passes, 55.4%, 498, three touchdowns to one interception, and he's just a slightly tick better at 84.2. Now, the passing attack, it's the top receivers or Drake London, here we go, and the quarterback's been sacked 30 times, too. That's so 30 times, 10 games, 3 a game, so 21 more. They're headed for another 50 sack season is what we're looking at in the sack department. But the receivers are, you know, London, Jonnu Smith, and Kyle Pitts. London has 40 catches for 474 and 2. Jonnu Smith, 35 for 423 and 2. And Pitts has 35 for 419 and 1. Now, Pitts is getting, he's the second most targeted receiver with 58. Bijan Robinson has 29 catches for 208 and 2 touchdowns. Scotty Miller is, he's got 2 touchdowns, 7 for 76. Now, he was brought in to be the deep threat. And what we write about in the review, in our grade of the passing attack is that, hey, everybody knew that the Falcons were going to run the ball and everybody's going to gang up on the run. But we didn't see them working their deep passing game to getting the timing down. You know, with Scotty Miller, they tried Mac Hollins, and they've since brought in Van Jefferson and Damir Bird to get it going. When they weren't playing an exhibition season, they should have been playing and throwing deep balls all over the place, trying to get their timing down. So now what we have and what's transpired, teams are sitting on their intermediate and the quick game routes. You know, they know what's coming. I mean, you saw in the Arizona game, they were running the routes better than the receivers. That's why Heineke's only at 55-4. He was holding the ball. And he got out on some good scrambles. So, you know, hey, if they got it and they're you know, instead of trying to make some pinpoint throw, you know, go ahead and take off. You should see them get the green light to run a lot more in the second half of the season. And they got to somehow get the deep passing game going. That'll get people off of those intermediate routes. And so forth. So we gave them a C for the passing attack because they can't hit the deep balls and then people are sitting on their short stuff. And Bijan Robinson, you know, thought he was going to do a little bit more in the passing game the way they were talking. But 29 catches, he's a check down guy. I haven't seen a wheel route. I know they ran a nice rail route with Keith Smith, but they got to do something, get people off their routes, and that'll be key if they're going to make a push in the second half of the season. So C for the pass offense. Let's move on to the rush offense. You know, this is the only top 10 unit. They are 7th in the league. So, you know, they got an A for being in the top 10 in rushing. So, the rushing is Bijan Robinson's got 125 for 612. Tyler Algier has 125 for 402 and 3 touchdowns. So his average is just a 3.2 per carry. Bijan's 4.9. So you're saying, hey, well, maybe they need to give more to Bijan. Maybe that's what we'll see in the second half. But I got some good numbers on Algier that shows that, you know, shows why you want to stay with him too. You want to keep him in there. But those are the two. Ritter's ran 32 times for 150 and 4 touchdowns. That RPO in the red zone is about their best play. And he's got 4 touchdowns off of it. Should have 5. Don't fumble at Tampa. But that's the run game. Now, the non-factors in the run game, the non-factor has been Cordarrelle Patterson, 17 for 76. So, there is your rush offense. We got some more on that. Red zone is a 54.17. They are 32. It's 17 of 32 in the red zone because they were 3 for 4 last week and were 28 for 14 before last week. And that's 16th, right in the middle of the league. Points, they are 18.9, which is 24th. You know, that's a bottom third of the league, and total yards is 335.3, which is 15, top half of the league. So just in the middle of the league type offense. That's why you get an A and a C, kind of gives you a B there. But here's some numbers on Algiers from the Pro Football Reference Advanced Stats. He has 10 broken tackles, and Bijan Robinson has 8. And then Algier, he has 25 first down runs, and Bijan has 32. Ritter has 13. And then here's another reason why you I think he still run Algier, maybe don't move all of it to Bijan. He has 233 yards of his yardage has come after contact. He has 233 yards after contact. 57.9% of his yards are gained after contact. So he doesn't go down. So, you know, you can't give him 20 a game, but he's productive in that regard. And then Bijan's 218 of the 612, 35%, 35.6% of his yards come after contact. Okay, and just going back to the pass offense, we target-wise, London leads with 61, Pitts with 58, Jonnu Smith 44, Bijan Robinson 43, and Mac Hollins with 29. He had 17 catches. Those are some pass numbers there too. Okay, so and the quarterbacks. Jonnu Smith is the most productive person in the pass offense. Quarterbacks have a 112.4 passer rating when throwing to Jonnu Smith. Now some Pitts going to London, the quarterbacks have an 86.4 passer rating. Going to Pitts, 81. Throwing to Bijan, 84.3. And then throwing to Mac Hollins, 86.4. Now, the guys who haven't got a lot of targets but have been productive, Scotty Miller's got a 145.8, so they've been successful. He's caught 7 of his 8 targets. Van Jefferson's caught 5 of 15, and Baird has only had 2 targets, and Damir Bird, I mushed that together. Damir Bird has 2 targets and 0 catches. Carterell Hodge has also been productive when they've thrown his way. Quarterbacks have a 115.3 rating. And then Keith Smith, 118.7 rating. So are you going to start throwing more to Scotty Miller, Keith Smith, and Carterell Hodge and less to Pitts, London, and Bijan? I don't think so, but they have stepped up and made teams pay. So those are the numbers at the half on the pass offense, we gave that a C, and then our rush offense, we gave that an A. So let's move on here to pass defense, and then we'll go to break and then come back and finish up here. Pass defense, Jesse Bates, 3 interceptions, Richie Grant, 1, Nate Landman, 1, and we write in the report card that, you know, the opposing quarterbacks are having most success against the linebackers and Richie Grant. And we'll go over those numbers here right now. When thrown at Bates, the opposing quarterback has hit on 22 of 34 passes and have had a 70.7 passer rating. That's 64.7% of the passes are being completed. And for a 70 passer rating, which is really low. That's good. The high one here, passer rating, I did the starters. And quarterbacks are having a 133.5 passer rating throwing at Richie Grant or in his area. D. Offord is next with a 99.7. And then A.J. Terrell is a 97.2. And they're not messing with Jeff Okuda. He's in a contract year and playing pretty best ball of his career. They're throwing an 80.3 in his direction. And so Bates is 70.7 is the best. So they're not getting anything going at Bates and Okuda. They're making their money throwing at Richie Grant. And, you know, AJ and Alford have some bad, you know, a lot of action, some bad numbers there on the passer rating. Now, the balls are 57% are being completed. He's had 56 passes. They just had the most action of the defensive backs. Alford has the second most. He's had 48 passes, and they completed 31 for 64.6. And then the linebackers, Caden Ellis, they've hit on 26 of 35. And Richie Grant, they hit on 25 of 35. For 71.4%. All right, the Falcons have 21 sacks, which is 26 in the league. Arno Ebiketie and David Onyemata lead the team with 3.5 sacks. Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell have 3 sacks each. Quarterback knockdowns, Onyemata has 9. Campbell and Grady Jarrett have 6. Lorenzo Carter has 4. Richie Grant has 3. All right. Missed tackles. Lamon has 8. Richie Grant has 8. Campbell and Terrell have 7. And Bates have 7. Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson have 4. Lorenzo Carter, 3. All right. So that's and we gave the pass defense a C. So we got pass offense C, rush offense A, pass defense C. And we're going to take a break here and come back and finish up. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we have a deal for you. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're going to get right into the rush defense. You know, overall, we'll do the overall numbers here. You know, our tail of the tape, you know, offense is 335.3 total yards, 15th in the league. Rushing is top 10, 130.4, 7th. And then the passing attack is 204.9, 21st. And then the points per game, 18.9, is 24th in the league. So, you know, I'm like, hey, figure out the red zone and short yardage and, you know, get the deep passing game going. It's pretty clear what they have to do better in the second half of the season. Of course, not turn the ball over. But that's where they're at offensively here after 10 games. Now, defensively, they started off hot. They were in the top 10, and the defense was much improved. But in the last 3 games, they've given up 149, 146, and 122 yards rushing. And I found that in the 6 losses, the opposing team has rushed for over 100 yards. And in the 4 wins, the opposing team has rushed for under 100 yards. Now, we talked to Calais Campbell the other day after the Arizona game, and he was pointing out that they have trouble with scrambling quarterbacks. Their yards against running backs is fine, but the scrambling quarterbacks of late have hurt them. Joshua Dobbs, 66 yards. And then, of course, Kyler Murray got loose for 33, I believe. But the big 13-yarder on the last drive to get him in the field goal range. So that would make the rush numbers look a little better. But, you know, they're not with Grady Jarrett. And David Onyemata missed the last game, too. So they'll need him back. And then somebody in the group of Catavia Street, Tyquan Graham, and Albert Huggins, and Timmy Horn, somebody has to step up and play Grady Jarrett, or they get them all together. Kind of probably can't get close to Grady Jarrett, but just, you know, don't get steamrolled in there. So, and the defensive numbers, 308.8 is eighth in the league in total defense. They're giving up 108.4, which is 14th. They dropped out of the top 10 there, that slide that we talked about. And the passing yards is top 10, 200.4, top 10. And then points, 21.7 a game. They're 20th. Now, Gabe Burns, who covered the game with me in Arizona, found this stat, and so I'm staying with it and giving him credit. Over the last three games, they averaged, the Falcons have been giving up 28 points. And Denver, which has the worst defense in the league, is giving up 27.6. So on the points-wise, the defense got to get a little bit better than they've been over the last three games. And, you know, they lost Grady Jarrett, lost Troy Anderson early, but, you know, they got a move forward there. So that was my stats about the four and under. Now, the tackles, we've got Caden Ellis and Jesse Bates leading the team with 73. And Landman at 69, Richie Grant at 68, and Oyemata with 39. Those are your top five tacklers. So rush defense, we gave that a B minus. It would have been an A if they had stayed in the top 10, but the slide has brought that grade down to a B minus. And I think you can stay, I think they can fix that by getting I don't know if they're going to spy the quarterback or what, but they can fix that problem. Special teams, we gave them a C because of the punt coverage units. Young Wei Koo has been great on the field goals, three game winners, this season. Him, Liam McCullough as a snapper, and Bradley Pinion as your holder. They've been Koo's been the MVP pretty much this year. Maybe him and Jonnu Smith if you got to have a football player. But special teams wise, they have given up big plays in the punt coverage area. 61 against Washington, 49-yard return by Greg Dortch from Wake Forest, who was with the Falcons for a little while. He busted one. So that's why it's a C. The punting overall has been good. Coverage has been bad. No threats on the kickoff returns. Patterson has only returned 4 kickoffs. Now, so we gave the special teams a C because the coverage units are bringing down Koo's operation. But, yeah, that's, they're not headed for another top 10 season in special teams. It doesn't look like. And then coaching. Okay, they've done a good job on defense, getting all the new people, getting them together. But we've been seeing some troubling things here that they haven't been able to adjust to things. And teams are copying plays from other games and still running them and being successful against them. And then offensively, we talked about the problem with the passing attack not being timed up, especially on the deep balls. You know, when you see somebody open, and the ball's coming, you don't have the feeling that, okay, that's a strike. It feels like a bunch of jump ball type situations on the deep balls and a lot of misses. So I put that on the fact that they didn't time it up and they haven't been able to hit it in the game. So that goes to the coaching, especially when they didn't play anybody during the exhibition season when you had time to work on that and you didn't do it. That was one of the things I brought up in the report card in the paper. And so no real blunders. You had a couple of late game situations that we hadn't seen here. So we held that against the coaches with this grade and gave them a C minus for the coaching. So, what you have with a bunch of C's is a 4-6, 500 type team. You're not going to have a lot of A's and B's if you're under 500. And that's where the Falcons are here at the break. Not a glowing report card, but it still reflects the fact that, hey, they can get some stuff fixed and get it turned around here coming down the stretch. Now, as far as the rest of the schedule, we had them going 7-3 at this point. We had it started off right with the first five games. We had them beating Carolina and Green Bay, losing to Jacksonville and Detroit, and beating Texas. Okay, where it started going haywire at was Washington. We had them, Washington beat them, and then they won the Bucks. We had them beating the Bucks because when the schedule came out, we thought Kyle Trask would be the quarterback. Okay, and then the Titans' loss was bad, losing to Will Levis, making his first NFL start. Then the Vikings' loss was also bad, losing to Joshua Dobbs, who, you know, just went to the team and was drawing up plays in the dirt. And then the loss to Arizona was bad. At least Kyler Murray's a baller and been a two-time Pro Bowler, and he put something together in a new offense that they hadn't seen. So, you know, at that point, you got to play assignment football. They didn't and got beat. Didn't make any adjustments to Trey McBride. Made him look like Gronkowski there. 8 catches for 131. You know, they didn't have any answers for him. So, I mean, I know what happened. They put safe Jesse over Marquise Hollywood Brown because you didn't want him running up and down the field on you. You know, that's where Kyler was going to look and try to get him. He almost got him on one. So, yeah, so you couldn't double the tight end and Brown. I guess you could have did something better, something different or something, because he had his way with whoever was on him. And he was even running a little smack on in the press conference about how he told Kyler that this guy can check me all day. I can get across his face. Give me a shot. And they did. And that was the big 33-yarder right before the field goal to get him really deep in the field goal range. But so that's where the Falcons are. You know, something went wrong in Washington. They couldn't fix it. Tampa Bay, they should have blew them out. Ritter had three fumbles in the red zone, but they still won. And then the Titans, a bizarre switch at halftime. You know, they go to Heineke and then stay with him the rest of the way. He scored 20 points in the second half at Tennessee. That was the high at that time. Then, you know, the Vikings got a chance to drive back. You know, they, had a game-winning drive situation, couldn't pull it off. And then, you know, Arizona beat them at the buzzer with a kick. So that's where the Falcons are, 4-6. Now, when they come back from the break, you know, we've overstated the week's schedule. Now we know that, hey, you know, they're not going to be any walkthroughs for the Falcons. These are all going to be tough games. And they'll start with the Saints. Then they go to the Jets. The Bucs come to Atlanta. And then they go to Charlotte for the Panthers. That might be a walkthrough. There we go. Let's give them that one. Colts, that's a tough one now. Jonathan Taylor's back. And Gardner Minshew is, you know, a credible quarterback, although that Colts New England game was painful to watch from Germany. Bad football. But they had the Miami Kansas City game the week before, so they should be okay. Then you go to the Bears on New Year's Eve in Chicago in December. That, you know, never know what's going to happen on Soldier Field, and that wind gets whipping up off of the Lake Michigan. You know, strange stuff happens. So, and then if, you know, you can hang around and be in the race and be relevant, you close out the season at the Saints with a chance to, you know, that could be a very important game, as the Saints are one game ahead, 5-5 with seven to go and two head-to-head matchups. So the opportunity is there. Have they played enough good football for you to believe they can do it? I don't think so. Just in spurts, I haven't seen them strung together drives, install in the red zone, don't take advantage of turnovers. You know, they have been inconsistent. You know, done a lot of good stuff too. Jonnu Smith, his 60-yard touchdown, that was an awesome play. Desmond Ridder's touchdown pass to Kyle Pitts, awesome pass. Haven't seen enough of that. And you know, they gotta take care of the football. That's a basic football tenet. And what was also troubling was some procedural stuff late, as late as week 9 in the Vikings game. Some false starts and stuff like that. And even in Tennessee, where Jeff Simmons was faking signal calls and they were snapping the ball before the play was ready. And just, you know, little bad football stuff that, you know, we put that on the coaches. But that stuff they could clean up in the film room. And, you know, the Falcons got to decide, hey, are we going to go play? We're going to take care of this opportunity? Are we going to go out here and beat somebody? Quit letting everything go down to one opportunity? Are you going to stop the run? Are you going to defend the running quarterbacks? Can you get some sacks from somewhere? You got a blitz? That's what happened on the Kyler Murray blitz. They had Richie in his face. Then Kyler spins out away from him. Ever Cady misses him, and he's off to the races. Then they're all just giving chase. Bud Dupree, everybody is just giving chase. Lamb gets the tackle. Acuna would have got it if he didn't get him. But, you know, can't let Joshua Dobbs out the back door for 18-yard gain either in Minnesota. But those are those plays, you know. You got plays that, you know, okay, take away the three cool kicks. Okay, you could be 1-9. They could be 1-9. Okay, but then, hey, you make a couple plays. You know, you should have beat Arizona. You could have beat, you know, if you score on the 14-yard line, you know, you could beat Arizona. If you score on the 1-yard line against the Vikings, then you beat them. You know, so that's, you could easily go, you know, you got the 1-9 scenario. You got another scenario where they're 6-4. And Washington, you know, that was doable. Titans, that was just crazy, playing the rookie quarterback and then letting them drop four bombs on you. So, you know, fix those, you know, 7-8 plays, then you're 7-3 with a two-game lead with 7 to go. So you can play it both ways, and it's fair to look at it both ways. Like, okay, this team's really bad. They could be 1-9. And then you can be like, okay, they're not that far off. Make a couple plays in these other games, and they could be 7-3. Okay, they were losing to the Jags. That was a better team. They were losing to Detroit. That was a better team. And I had them losing to the Vikings because I thought Kirk Cousins was going to be playing. So when they didn't have Kirk Cousins, they should have beat the Vikings. So they didn't. So there's no – and the only other game I thought they had here was the Jets, but Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. So they're pretty regular too. Nothing here special. The Colts are overperforming, I think. The Bears are still trying to put stuff together. The Saints, Derek Carr was hurt. Jameis went in. The Bucks rebounded. They beat the Titans. They had lost four straight with Baker Mayfield, so they're not, you know, it's nothing. We're not looking at the 78 Steelers here. So, yeah, they got to think that, hey, yeah, we had some issues in the first 10 games, but the coaches got to believe that they could fix them. And try to get going here down the stretch, and maybe they can make it to, you know, just get to a winning record at this point and quit talking about the playoffs and winning a division. Just get over 500, and then that other stuff will happen. But that's where they're at here at the break. Those are our grades for review. We've got pass offense, a C. Rush offense, a A. Pass defense, a C. And rush defense, a B minus. Special teams, a C because of the coverage, not because of coup. And the kick coaching is a C minus for all those reasons I stated that are coaching related issues. But they're it's, you know, if they got a chance to fix stuff, they got a chance to get on the run here. But it all, you know, it's all going to be dependent on how they come back after the break. He needs to make a decision. He's going to go with Ritter, run what he runs best. Don't call the stuff he can't call. Work on the deep passing game. That should open stuff up, whether it's running a 9 up the sideline to Pitts or, you know, trying to get Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, or Damir Bird open on your fake play action stuff. But, yeah, you got to hit some shots up the field to get people up off of your routes because we saw where, you know, we didn't – all we knew was Buda Baker, and the rest of these guys for the Cardinals were looking like Aeneas Williams was out there and stuff. They were showing up, doing their film study, and showing up at the balls. So they got work to do. It's doable. We'll come back and see. After the bye, we'll start getting ready for that Saints game on November the 26th. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.